Please to John chapter 20. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. We'll start reading at verse number 11. Ask you to stand, please. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see if two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. We'll stop reading there for right now. Let's bow our heads, go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to help us in the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God for all the singing. And I pray God will take that and use it, but also that he'll help us to preach, that God may take the Word of God, speak to hearts today that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for a living Savior that conquered death, hell, and the grave, walked out victorious. And Father, we praise your name and give you glory today that we are privileged to be in the house of God, open the Word of God, and to read about the resurrection of the blessed darling Savior. I thank you for all the choir that has songs the choirs have sung. I thank you, God, for everybody that's participated. But Lord, now comes time for preaching. And I realize without you, we can do nothing. And so I pray for a divine touch of God that you move upon us, our minds, our hearts, that very being within us, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost may take the word and speak to our hearts today. These people here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray they'll be saved. Then I pray for those that may be here and saved and fallen afar off, that they'll come to Jesus and realize, God, they can have the joy restored and live for God with joy in their hearts. Thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to begin a series, if God so will lead us on in this. I'm not sure how that may go, but I know what he's laid on my heart for today. And we're talking about the resurrection appearances. But let me say this. Wednesday night, I was talking about the place called Calvary. What there, they crucified him. And I'm glad that Calvary had to be there so the resurrection could come. And no resurrection of no death. There had to be a death. And let me say today, I believe what God said in his word about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There's no question about that not being the gospel. That is the gospel. He died at Calvary. He shed his blood. He willfully gave it. And then he was buried. But thank God he wouldn't stay dead, as Brother Willie Thomas wrote. Amen. He rose from the dead, and death could not hold him. I believe corruption was saying, I'm trying to get a hold, and death saying, I'm trying to hold him. and I can't hold him. There's something different about this one. Fact is, the only way I can hold anybody in death is the fact they sin, and I can't find any. And corruption sin, well, I can't set in unless you can hold him. And you say, preacher, that's not in the Bible. No, but that's good preaching. Amen. It's the truth of the Bible. It may not be written that way, but it's a truth found in the Word of God. Death could not hold him. Jesus conquered it all. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he took the keys from the devil and bruised the devil's head. The devil bruised his heel at Calvary, and Jesus bruised his head when he rose from the dead, took the keys of hell and of death, and walked out victorious. And I believe he shook him in the devil's face and said, I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He amened himself. I say amen to it too. Amen. And amen and amen. I'm glad. Thank God the death penalty has been paid. Jesus Christ has died for our sin. He shed his blood. He gave his life. In fact, his Isaiah over there, where he's talking about in chapter 53, he said he made his soul an offering for sin. Gave his blood and made his offering. And he said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I never have got over that statement. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? How could it please the Lord to bruise his own darling son? Because of the fact that he loved me and he loved you enough that it pleased God for him to take my sin and your sin and take them upon him and bruise him so that you and I could come alive in Christ Jesus and live. We were dead in sins and trespasses, but thank God, I'm glad Jesus Christ died for my sin. He was buried to carry him far away. And thank God he rose again without any sin, glorified. And thank God he said, someday we too shall be the same. I'll get to that after a while maybe. But I'm telling you right now, he's a conqueror from Calvary. He went to Calvary, looked like defeated, looked like had lost it all. But thank God when he came out the conqueror. And he conquered death, hell, the grave, the devil, and laid the death blow, as it were, on his head. I'm glad today, thank God, he lives. I know that he lives because he lives in my heart. Does he live in your heart today? Do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and your Savior? You see, everybody in this house today is either saved and going to heaven one day, or else you're lost without God and going to go to hell one day. You say, preacher, that's not modern day good preaching to talk about hell. It may not be modern day good preaching, but it's good preaching anyhow. Because we need to know there is a literal burning hell. As sure as there's a heaven, there is a hell. And it amazes me that on the news, everybody that gets killed and everybody that dies, they're all from up above looking down. And that's not really true. Some of them crying in hell and burning in hell at this moment. I say to you, you say, preacher, that's unnerving. It may be unnerving. I pray if you're lost, it unnerves you enough. The Holy Ghost get a hold of you and show you you're lost without God and that Jesus Christ took your place so you could be saved and born in the family of God. I said I was going to talk about the resurrection appearances. I want you to know, first of all, he died for us. He died for us. Amen. I want you to know he conquered it. Conquered death, hell, and the grave. And conquered the devil and walked out victorious. Thank God for that. He did. Now, in the Word of God, there's at least 15 appearances of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. Either to one person or more, he appeared after his resurrection. In fact, there's one time he appeared to over 500 one time. He's not a court in the land. If somebody went to a court to be tried where they were at a certain time and 500 people said they were there, every jury that's ever been assembled would say, I believe he was there. Amen. Well, Jesus has that kind of resurrection testimony for him. Amen. I praise God. He did appear, and thank God for it. By the way, let me just plug in a few things right here. I'll get what I want to say here in a while, but Christianity is not a religious system. Christianity is life. Life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what Christianity is all about, is having life, because we're dead outside of Christ and must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. When we talk about being saved, we quote many, many times Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let me say, there's a whole lot of people that have confessed that with their mouth, but they don't believe it in their heart. To really believe it in the heart is to accept him and trust him as a living Savior today, and that he comes into our life as Lord and Savior to take over our life, and that we are to live for him and glorify him and magnify him in all of our life. He lives, he lives. Thank God, I know he lives. Amen. Resurrection, I can't get over it. He died, but he rose from the dead. Can you imagine? Those guards around the tomb, they feel like dead men. Jesus Christ walked out. And by the way, the tomb, the stone was not rolled back so Jesus could get out. It was rolled back so we could see in. And people could look in. He wasn't there. He'd already got up. Hey, stones don't stop Jesus from going where he wants to go. When the rapture comes, the roof's not going to stop me from going where I'm going. Amen. In a glorified body. We don't need a door. Our disciples were assembled together, and Jesus appeared in the midst of them. He just walked in. You say, preacher, how did that happen? That happened because he's God. Amen. Because he rose from the dead. And you and I someday, well, keep getting ahead of myself. But anyway, I praise God. You got to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ if you ever get saved. And Brother Kennedy's up here this morning talking about that professed atheist. Said it took more faith to be an atheist. I believe it does too. Fact is, I'm not even sure there is a true atheist. They try to proclaim they are. If they can convince themselves there's no God, then they don't have to answer to God. But if they ever admit there's God, then they've got a problem. And they don't want that problem, so they try to convince themselves there is no God. But let me tell you today, there is a living God. And no question about that. You say, preacher, how do you know? Hey, listen, how in the world could you ever believe there's not a God? What holds it in place? What put it in place? And I said the other Sunday, talking about the Big Bang Theory, what in the world banged and where did it come from? There had to be something in the beginning somewhere. And it was a Big Bang, all right. God said, let there be, and bang, it was. Amen. And bang or no bang, it was there. And God spoke again. God reached out into nothing and got something and put it out here. You say, preach, that's an impossibility. Well, that's an impossibility to believe there's no God, too. Amen. Because life itself shows us there's God in nature itself. Bible says man's without excuse. I believe there's a God. We know there is. And knowing that he is, then we know that someday we have to meet him and give an account to him. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And you and I are not going to be judged, see whether or not we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven for only one reason. That's because you've been born by the Spirit and the power of God, been reborn by his power, and have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you're going to heaven. None of us in here are going to heaven because we're good. None of us are going to heaven because we go to church or pay the preacher or that we give money to the church or that we good deeds, knock on doors, do all of these things. I don't mean you're going to heaven. You go to heaven because you've been saved by the grace of the living God. If every one of us got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell, and none of us would go to heaven. But oh, praise God, I'm glad. Hey, the reality of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I said you had to believe and confess with your mouth the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You see, preacher, is that true? That's true. Muhammad didn't raise from the dead. Buddha didn't raise from the dead. And all the others that ever tried to start some kind of religion never rose from the dead. But Jesus rose from the dead. And that's an established historical fact that he did. And praise God, that means thank God I'm saved. Saved, because I believe and trust what he did for me at Calvary and his burial and his resurrection from the dead. And trust him for that and thank God for him. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Somebody said, you can quote this verse, that verse like this, wherefore he is able to save them to the guttermost. Amen. I'm glad he's saved to the guttermost or the churchmost or any other most. He can save because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I say hallelujah. He lives to make intercession for every sinner there is that'll come unto him by Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that he lives. It's declared him to be the Son of God, the resurrection does. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. How did he prove that he was the Son of the living God? Because he got up. Said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it back up. I've received this command of my Father. I say, hallelujah, praise. Man didn't kill him. He died of his own volition. He dismissed his spirit from his body and committed himself in the hand of the Father. Thank God he didn't. Nobody killed him. He died of his own volition. And then nobody could keep him dead because he died of his own. And he rose on his own and got up on his own. And hallelujah, praise God. He declared himself to be the Son of the living God because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And if you don't get anything else today, walk out of here saying, he rose from the dead. We're not celebrating Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. We're celebrating a living Savior, a glorified Savior, one that walked out victorious and is alive forevermore. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that lives forever and forever. He lives, he lives, he lives. Hallelujah. I know that he lives. He's a living Savior. He's our Savior. Let me say something else about this. I'm glad he rose from the dead because it assures me that one day I too shall raise from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, I've been raised from the dead spiritually. I was dead spiritually, but I'm alive spiritually now. I've been resurrected in that sense, but ain't going to be a day I'm going to get a new body like unto Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll never have a sickness. It'll never have a pain. He said he'd wipe all tears from the eyes. There'd be no more death, no more sorrow, no more weeping. I'm glad, praise God, for that body. And he's going to do it. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe about verse 21, 22, 23, those three verses, I believe go something like this. It says, for by one man death came by one man, and by a man came also the resurrection from the dead. Amen. But by man came the resurrection. He died for our sin, but he rose for our sin. It said, even it said, in Adam we all die, but in Christ Jesus we're all made alive. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, we're all made alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And then he went on and talked about this resurrection from the dead. And in Christ, we're made alive. We're dead already, but made alive in Christ. I'm thankful for that life that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But put it like this, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. I say hallelujah. You say, preacher, you're going to preach on the second coming resurrection. So I sure am, amen. Because you know why? Because he got up and because he lives. I know that one day he said, I'm coming back to get you. And I want you to know today, praise God, when he comes back, he's going to resurrect us like he was resurrected in the same kind of body he was resurrected in. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then that means hallelujah. We shall be resurrected, glorified, like unto him. You say, preacher, you don't look so good from this view. You wait till you see me in my new body. Amen. You wait till you see me in my new body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Never, my backbone's crooked now and laying over one side and moving my stomach to one side. And my eyes not good. But praise God, one day, hallelujah, I'll be in a glorified body. It won't have a pain in the back, won't have a pain in my neck, down my arm, won't have pain, hallelujah, my leg won't be weak. I say glory to God. I'm glad, but the best part about it is I'll be glorified and be able to, in a new body, to worship him like I always have wanted to worship him since the day he saved me and felt like I never did get said what I wanted to say or bow at his feet like I wanted to bow. But hallelujah, I'll see him. I'll see him and be able to worship better than I've ever worshiped in all my life in a glorified body. Aren't you glad for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Resurrection appearing. Let me talk about the comfort it brings. In verse number 11, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. Now she was weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulcher. See, of two angels. And they're sitting there where the body of Jesus had been. Look at verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And then she began to talk about where they laid Jesus. And look at verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And so three times it said, woman, why weepest thou? And she was weeping. You know why? Because she was sad. She needed some comfort. I'm glad, praise God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his appearance. We see some comfort coming. Now look with me, please, in verse number 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now remember, it was early in the morning. And remember, Mary was weeping probably uncontrollably, and was weeping, and she turned back, and she saw Jesus. Now Jesus can do what he wants to do. Fact is, he walked with the disciples to Emmaus, and they didn't know who he was till he broke bread and blessed it. But anyway, she didn't recognize who he was until he, and I love this part. I want you to look at it. In verse 16, and Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Hallelujah. And she turned. It says, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is say, Master. Only when he called her name, she knew who he was. I'm glad, praise God, Brother Gary, one day he called my name. And when he called my name, I knew who he was. Amen. He'd been working in my heart. The Holy Ghost had been making it real to me. But when he called my name and said, I'm talking to you, boy. I'm talking to you, not everybody else in church. I thought I was the only one there that day. Amen. And he's talking straight to me. I've had people go out and say, well, preacher, you preach straight to me. Well, I probably didn't even hardly recognize who they were. But God knows who you are, and God knows where you are, and God knows how to call your name today. And this resurrection Sunday morning, maybe the Sunday morning God's going to call your name. Maybe calling it right now and saying, it's you I'm talking to. It's you that need to be saved. Why don't you come? I know you by name. I'm calling you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 11, verse 25 at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and he that believeth in me shall never die. And or he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he talking about the fact that he is the resurrection. Resurrection not just an event. He is the resurrection. Thank God I know I'm in him. I'm in resurrection already. I'm already, hallelujah. That'll dawn on you after a while. You're in resurrection power already. There's resurrection power living already inside of me. Why is that, preacher? Because I'm saved. If you're saved, you got resurrection power living inside of you. Thank God for it. But I want to show you something here before I close this out this morning. I did not want to get any further than comfort, but that's good enough for today. Amen. God said that's enough. But anyway, I want you to look at verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father. I want to deal with that just a minute and I'll be finished. I can't get over that verse of scripture. It said, touch me not. And now all the events that happened on that resurrection morning, who was there first, who did what, I'm not getting into all that. But I am telling you this, that before anybody ever touched the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, something took place that is really important. All the tabernacle, all the temple, where the holies of holies was, all of that was a picture and a type of what is in heaven. And when that high priest took that blood, he had to go back into the holies of holies and put the blood on the mercy seat. And sometime after the resurrection of Jesus, before he ever told Thomas or any of the others ever touched him, he ascended unto the Father. Somewhere, Brother Ben, I don't believe a drop of blood was ever lost that Jesus shed. You don't believe that preacher that they could keep all the blood of Jesus. I believe if he could speak a world into place, he could get up every drop of blood Jesus ever shed. Amen. I believe he did. And Jesus told Mary Magdalene there, said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended. Later he said, touch me. There had to be something happened in between there. And something, what was it? Jesus ascended into heaven, went before the very throne of God, into the very mercy, holies of holies, before the mercy seat, sprinkled his blood on. And the Father said, that's good enough. That satisfied me. Hallelujah. He completed it all. You know what those people were doing outside the tabernacle in the temple? They were waiting for that high priest to come back out. When he came back out, they said, it's enough. It's good enough. It's done. He accepted it. He didn't die back there. He come out. When Jesus came back out, thank God, it was enough. He had completed his work. He had laid the blood on the mercy seat. And thank God, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every sinner that'll come can be saved by that power of that blood. Why? Because he lives. He lives. He lives. He'll save you if you'll come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost take the word of God, speak to hearts today. I pray for every unsaved to realize, Lord, they're lost. They're lost. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that is able to realize that they're lost, they'll realize their lostness. Holy Spirit, make it real. Then, Father, I pray they realize they'll go to hell if they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God they realize also that Jesus died for them, rose for them, and that he ascended for them. He's coming back to get those who are saved. And Father, they can come and they can trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I pray in this invitation, Lord, I know the devil will fight it. And I know every imp of hell will try to hinder you from doing what you want to do in this service right now. But Father, I pray for a divine touch of God. The fear of God fall in this place. Lord, may in this invitation, men and women, boys and girls, do business with God. There's folk here today that's out of the will of God. Some's lost that joy. Some doesn't have that joy they need, and they need to come. Some need to pray for others. Some may need to come and pray about a situation. But thank God there's comfort in the resurrected Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.